Bloodline, starring Roy Hodge with Janet Brown, Chris Emmett, and the Nick Rowley Quintet.
Well, thank you very much, folks, and welcome to the show. What a week it's been, eh? The European summit comes to nothing. The Ark Royal ties up for good. Jockeys on trial. All that, and, you know who. In other words, it's been naught, pork, short, and wart. But it's all been happening in Brussels, hasn't it, eh? Where Jim Callaghan's talks for the common market have broken down yet again. Jim says in future he's going to buy his speeches from Japan. Funny the conference collapsed, because that new currency scheme sounded like a good idea, didn't it? Apparently they were going to let the Deutschmark drift, let the franc float, and send divers down for the pound. No, there was the Queen's jockey, Willie Carton, drove into a traffic warden. I always liked Willie, you know. But he claims it was a complete accident. His foot slipped, he fell off the stepladder and suddenly couldn't see over the dashboard, you know. Well, on the home front, I see the Prime Minister has begun sanctions against British Oxygen. He's ordered Wedgwood Bend to stop breathing. Well, there's a rumour that after the next election, there'll be 5 extra seats for Ulster MPs. Yeah. So as no one has to sit next to Ian Paisley. And according to Vickers Jeffrey Leith, the roads are now safer, far safer than 20 years ago, even though there's more traffic on the road. In 20 years' time, you'll be safer still on the road. You won't be able to get on the bloody thing. And I see that Vickers are now demanding a rise over the 5% wage limit. Yes, they've been accused of breaking the pay code. Thank you. Billy Graham, 1927. And meanwhile, did you read that the Times has suspended publication? No, I didn't. I take the Times. Oh, and what about the poor old Ark Royal, eh? They did think of putting it in mothballs. They couldn't find enough moths to volunteer, you know. But I see a fault has been discovered in Triumph Spitfires built between 1971 and 1974. A Leyland spokesman said they'll all be recalled just as soon as they've been delivered. Well, there's good news and bad news this week as well. The good news is that they've discovered coal in the North Sea. The bad news is it's too wet to burn. And I hear the BBC have run into difficulties with its new Shakespeare series on telly, eh? They've just heard that Hamlet, Macbeth, and one of the Merry Wives of Windsor have defected to ITV. Did you see that Lily Lancashire's secret love letters fetched £8,000 at an auction, eh? I ask, it's money for old Grope, isn't it? And then there was that silly story about the New York doctor who claims that the best way to lose weight is to tickle the inside of your lip. Honestly, Mick Jagger tried it and now weighs 2 stone. And finally, wasn't that nice news about Twiggy's new baby girl, eh? She keeps telling the kids to eat up all her food or she won't grow up to be a small, skinny girl like her mum. Actually, I hear she's decided to breastfeed the baby. Proves one thing, the baby must have very good eyesight, doesn't it? Now, here's the headlines open wide, and can we have the first caller, please?
Hello?
Hello.
Hello, I'm the painter who gets thousands of pounds for leaving my work blank with no paint on it at all.
In the Tate Gallery?
No, the Leyland Paint Shop.
Next caller, please.
Hello, dear. Top of the morning to you.
Yes.
I'm the manager of Ireland's first sex shop. I'm ringing to complain that we may have to close down because of pressure by the authorities.
Are they using duress?
No, they're not buying anything at all.
Right, next caller, please.
Hello? Hello, a government scientist here.
Oh, yes, I recognize
you. Yes, I want to refute all this utter nonsense about kids absorbing lead from petrol fumes.
Oh, do you?
Yes, I do. Will you stop that, Nigel?
What's the matter?
Oh, it's nothing. It's my 12-year-old writing rude messages on the wall with his brother's head again.
Right, can we have the last caller, please?
Lady Jane Wellesley here. I would just like to say what a wonderful weekend I spent with Prince Charles on Daddy's hunting estate in southern Spain.
Oh, yes. And how did the prince enjoy his favorite sport?
I don't know. He spent the whole weekend out shooting.
Well, I see the countryside commission has decided to let bulls into fields where the public walk. Oh, now run. What? What will it all mean down in Ambridge?
Oh, dear, me old pal, me old beauty. Oh, dear, oh, dear, oh, dear. Oh, dear, oh, dear.
Oh, shut up, Doris, will you? Morning, all. Now, this here is a public footpath. Oh, hello, Aunt Laura.
I don't feel safe anymore, Dave. Farmer Woolley's got a huge pair of bulls loose.
Not that dangerous, are they?
Well, I was walking down by Tom Forrest's place and I got chased by this great black hairy beast.
An Aberdeen Angus?
No, Walter Gabriel. Is that a bull, Dan?
No, Laura, that'd just be Princess Anne out hunting some poor defenseless animal.
I feel sorry for that Mark Phillips. Can't be as bad as having Al Walter after you.
Now, where's Walter now, then?
Down the bull.
What, having a drink?
No, he got eaten by one of Jack Woolley's elephants.
Well, I see Irish lady telephone operators are going to disrupt the service because they want parity with men. Yes, you've guessed it. The men get less wages than they do. But the girls mean business. Even the operators in the small village post offices.
Hello? Which number will you be wanting?
Hello there. Is that the operator, Mrs. O'Grady, at the post office?
Oh, Tom McBride, it's yourself.
I'll have a feel. Just a minute. Yes, yes, it is. It's me, all right. Yes, yes. Now, what happened to me early morning call last night? I missed a late shift.
Don't you read the papers. It's disruption.
Oh, have you been peat digging again there, you poor... Anyway, I'm late for work. What time is it?
I'll give you the speaking clock.
Hello? Is that the speaking clock? Tick tock, tick tock. Hey. What time is it?
At the third stroke, it'll be nearly dinner time.
Well, can't you be more precise?
At the third stroke, it'll be steak, kidney pie, and two
days. Oh, never mind, Joyce.
I'll have to cut you off. There's another caller on the line. Go ahead, please.
I want to speak to me wife's mother in Nottingham. 333333.
Nottingham Forest number.
Hey. Who you got applauding there in the telephone exchange? What's going on?
I'm putting you through now. Hello?
Ah, it's me, mother-in-law.
Oh, hello.
Hello. Good news. Your daughter's just given birth to another little boy.
Another one?
Yes, that's 19 children.
Sorry, sir. Have to cut you off.
Hello, operator. The bottom of the afternoon to you. How much is it to call Australia?
The charges are £4.36.
Can you reverse the charges?
Very well. £10.06 and £4.
Oh, never mind. What is the number for today's recipe?
375.
375?
Or gas mark 4. Hang on, there's another call.
Hello, hello, look, it's the telephone manager here. It's about this unusual disruption you're trying to cause on the Irish telephone service.
Yes, what about it?
Well, when's it going to start?
Once again, at incredible cost to the Tory party's image, we present a lady unequaled in men. To say she was a politician, pure and simple, would only be unfair to the pure. Ladies and gentlemen, Margaret Thatcher.
Good evening, Riff Raff. Oh, dear. You've just caught me polishing the knocker on my tradesman's entrance. During the past week, I have always enjoyed the nightly visits of the carol singers. They don't normally call to collect money, but this time we must have left a light on because they seemed to know we were in. When I opened the door and saw their beaming cherub faces, I was reminded that this was, after all, a time for sharing. So Mr. Thatcher let them all have a chew of his drumstick. You may recall that we described Jim Callaghan as a Scrooge. In my humble opinion, which is final, Jim's pay policy is dead and buried. His sanctions are just like his own cabinet after a working lunch. They don't seem able to hold water. I must hurry on as I have a very tight schedule. Oh, that's better. Now, Christmas decorations, paper chains, but we don't usually bother decorating the bathroom. They don't write them like that anymore. Having the family together makes all the difference. I can see the innocent joy in my children's faces as they patiently fold up paper hats and re-glue last year's crackers. We always have Jacobs. At last, everything is assembled and ordered. Oh, no. I remember now, Mr. Thatcher had asked me to pick up another pair of nutcrackers. So I don't know why I bother. He never wears them. Good night.
Well, I see this week Jim Callaghan, the Deutschmark's best friend, is busy negotiating a better deal for Britain in Europe. So over now to a working lunch where Jim is influencing all the major decisions with his usual tact and diplomacy.
Right. Now look here, you smarmy bunch of Euro-wogs.
Now, let's get down to business. What is all this we hear about Britain cowardly backing out of the EEC?
Chicken! Chicken!
How dare you! I've never been so insulted since I was mistaken for the bottom half of Lord Goodman.
Dang, she's calling for more chicken.
Oh, good. Oh, that's the parson's nose. It'll save me buying Wedgie a Christmas present. Now look here, Squarehead.
What?
When Britain agreed to let you lot join us...
You let us join you?
Don't repeat everything I say, Attila. It's very irritating. Now, it seems to me that the way the EEC is working out, Britain always ends up paying for everyone else. That's my feeling. What's yours?
I'll have a double brandy.
Don't push your luck, Goebbels. Gob. Now then... My think tank has worked out just how much Britain can afford to contribute to the EEC. There you are, 10p.
You are contributing 10p?
Of course not. No, don't be ridiculous.
Oh, good.
We want 4p change out of that lot.
6p?
It's all we can afford.
Sauerkraut!
Hey, I wouldn't stand for that, Adolf. She's calling you now.
Yes! She's ordering more star craft.
Look, will you calm down?
Ridiculous.
This is supposed to be a shrine of European cooperation and friendship. You're forgetting the aims of the EEC.
Yeah.
You're forgetting that we're here to practice the skillful art of diplomacy.
Yes, of course.
And above all, you're forgetting you lost the war. Now, shut up. My think tank and I have come up with a much better alternative to this EMS nonsense. A standard currency for all of Europe called the Euro Pound.
A Euro Pound?
That's right. It's exactly the same as an English pound, except that it's worth something. Now, look here. You Frenchies have consistently sabotaged our economy with your massive food surpluses. I hear you've built up an enormous butter mountain and wine lake.
How do you know that?
Because Cyril Smith booked his holiday there, that's why.
Now, fellow Europeans, it is essential we find some way of stabilizing the European economy.
Yes, well, what we came up with was a flexible system whereby large sums of money can be moved very quickly.
Ah, the monetary snake.
Leave Dennis out of this, will you? I'll show you how this system would work. Now then, imagine I'm the British economy.
Oh, come over here and lie down, then.
No. I'm the British economy, right? Now, say I suddenly run into trouble, so you, that's the German economy, lend me £20 million.
Ah.
Right? Now, you give me £20 just for the purposes of this demonstration,
right?
Yes. There, thank you. Right, now, you've lent Britain, that's me, £20. Now, what do you do?
I ask you to pay it back.
No. You borrow it off France, see? Now, give him £20.
Ah, I see. And then I'd claim it back off you.
Right. Mind you, if I, that is Britain, couldn't afford to pay you, then I'd simply borrow the £20 off Germany.
Ah, got it there. There you are, £20.
Thank you. Right.
So, you end up with £40 from us.
£40, that's right, yes.
So what does this mean?
It means Britain is definitely pulling out of the common market.
Why?
Because I can't stand working with mugs, that's why. Come on, get on, suckers.
Well, undoubtedly the silliest story of the week is the one about the woman in America who's taught a gorilla how to communicate through deaf and dumb language. Just how far will this kind of research take us?
Good morning, Dr. Prendergast. Hi there. I want you to show me how far you've got with your research into communication for the animals.
Well, certainly, sir. Now, over here, we have some very lively exotic birds.
Ah, toucans.
Yes, they frequently do as well, yes. Why, there are so many of them there, you see.
What's that?
Daisy.
Ah, Daisy the cow.
No, Daisy the very confused woodlouse. Yes. Now, we've had a lot of success with the elephants. We've learned how they converse.
And what do they talk about?
Well, a load of rubbish, really.
Oh?
Trouble is, they keep singing out of the wrong end, you know. Just mind you don't tread in that conversation, please.
All right.
Over here, there is Cyril the boar constrictor.
Ah.
He's watching television.
Ah, well, do snakes always hit like that?
Only when they're watching 3-2-1.
have you got this boar constrictor to talk?
No, but he comes in very handy for shutting tightly packed suitcases. Now, over here, we have Trigger. He's always doing that, yes.
Yeah.
He's always talking. We ask him a question and he replies with one tap for yes, two for no.
All right. Well, let me try this.
Good.
Okay. Hi there, Trigger. Are you having a good time?
There you see. Yes and no. He's a great talker, but he's very indecisive, you know. In the next cage, we have a great sloth with an IQ of 190 and a vocabulary of 10,000 words.
But he's not saying anything.
No, he can't be bothered. Quiet, Wedgie. Now we come to the greatest success of our research. Here. Kong, the gorilla. If he gets aggressive, sir,
If he gets aggressive, pretend you're a female gorilla.
A female gorilla? Oh, gee, what if he, makes, advances? I mean, won't it be dangerous?
No. That's not the time to worry.
Oh?
The time to worry is when he finds out you're not a female gorilla. There's Kong. Now, listen to this. I'm telling you, the way Kong talks is almost human. Listen.
Good evening.
Well, the sad news of the week must be the arrival at Devonport of Her Majesty's ship, Ark Royal. After 25 years, she's finally failed her MOT. Shame. Today, a mighty warship. Tomorrow, a Wilkinson sword edge. Of course, there's been four Ark Royals, you know, the first being built by Sir Walter Raleigh. So we thought we'd proudly present the history of the Ark Royal.
The time, 1066. The place, Hastings. William the Conqueror had defeated Harold, and Harold fled to the Scillies with an arrow in his Labrador. But suddenly, 520 years later...
Ah, Harbormaster, is my ship ready yet?
Ah, well, she's ready for launch,
no,
sir.
What shall I call her? Something that will go down in history.
What about Titanic, sir?
Now I'll call her Ark Raleigh.
So the Ark Raleigh, which was later to be known as the Ark Royal, was launched by the Lord Frobisher.
Godspeed.
Who was later to be known as the Lady Frobisher. Sir Walter was piped aboard.
Condor, Condor.
But before you could say, hands off your billy sticks, the Spanish Armada was sighted.
What is it? What is it, Person?
I've just seen the Spanish Armada on the radar, sir.
Radar? What's that?
I don't know, sir. It hasn't been invented yet, sir.
And as the scriptwriter slinks out of the back door, Queen Elizabeth I buys the ship from Raleigh and renames it the Ark Royal. It joins the British fleet, which is commanded by Admiral Howard of Effingham.
Well, how's the battle going, Raleigh? I'm Effingham.
So am I, Admiral, and they don't like it. It's unbeaten!
And so we had. The brave Ark limped back to port. A hole in the rigging, a hole in the crew, and a hole in the hatch where the rain comes through. But years later, disaster struck. Her chain became tangled round a huge undersea boulder, and trying to raise the anchor, the crew pulled the ship under the waves. As a punishment, the crew were marooned on a deserted island, where they prospered as a new nation and called themselves Irish. 300 years later, the second Ark Royal was launched, and later, at the reception...
Did you enjoy the launch, Captain?
Nicest tongue salad I've ever eaten, madam.
I understand you advertised for a crew very similar to the ones who had failed on the very first Ark.
Right, ma'am, the very first Ark.
And what did you get?
Two giraffes, two rabbits, two elephants, and a funny-looking person in a white gown.
Noah?
I've never seen her before in my life.
Very soon, Ark Royal II saw action in the First World War. She took to sea with a complement of 800, so was well manned. And the ship's mascot was Lily Langtry, who was also well built. Later on in the war, she dazzled the enemy with her 216-pounders. But the captain told her to go below. The Germans soon felt the presence of the Ark at Gallipoli.
Mein Gott, an Himmel, Fritz! Here comes the Ark Royal, and I'm shaking in my shoes.
We better raise the white flag, Heinz.
We can't. The Kaiser wouldn't give us a white flag.
Then use your white underpants.
Too late, I'm afraid.
Yes, the sight of the Ark Royal was enough to strike terror into any German ship's laundry. The third Ark Royal was built on the Clyde in the 30s, just in time to enter the arena of the Second World War.
Excuse me, mein Führer.
What is it, Herr Oberwasend Ointment?
All is lost. All is lost. The British have introduced their ultimate weapon into the Mediterranean zone.
You mean?
Yes. Richard Attenborough's acting.
That's right. As the Ark battled her way from one victory to another, who can forget those stirring words from able seaman Brian Forbes as he staggered onto the storm-lashed bridge?
Fancy a cup of cocoa, sir?
The Nazis couldn't sink the Ark by fair means, so they tried foul.
Sir, they're throwing chickens at us!
Yes, the enemy had even stooped to such paltry methods. Ark Royal the Fourth, the largest ship ever commissioned by the Royal Navy, was launched in the 50s by the Queen Mother with a beam width of 166 feet. That's the ship, not the... With 2,460 crew, she peacefully patrolled the oceans of the world and never once fired her guns in anger, except at Rod Stewart. Now she lies quietly in Devonport, the end of an era in British maritime history. Good night.
That was the News Headline, starring Roy Hudd with Janet Brown, Chris Emmett, and the Nick Rowley Quintet. The script was written by Andy Hamilton, Laurie Rowley, John Walker, Jimmy Marvel, and John Langdon. Additional lines by Guy Jenkin, Lawrence Quindley, Alan Cubbon, Ray Bin, Stephen Jacob, John Hyde, Philip Campbell, Keith Rawnsley, Peter Long, Willie Wyatt, Tom Harris, and Markham Stevens. Peter Hickey, Bernard Tranmere, Strode Jackson, Niall Clark, Ian Campbell, Gerard Marlowe, Alice Crotch, Mike Onion, Tim Monahan, Byron Edwards, and Trevor Newstead.
All of whom are being broken up for scrap by our producer,
John Lloyd.